thinking, is there any way I can redeem myself from last night? Let me just go on record. I think Linda Ryman is the greatest pastor's wife in the world. Amen. I'm trying to save my life. Well, take your Bible, turn to Philippians chapter 1. I'll give you something real quick here, and then we'll go to the house. Amen. You say, why you got to be real quick? Because Brother Stalker preached an hour and a half. Amen. Philippians chapter number 1. Paul, in writing this letter, is always cordial when he writes these letters to the different churches. And through all that, he shows his concern about folks. And in this, in Philippians chapter 1, look at verse number 9. It says, in this I pray that your love may abound, yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. And folks, if your love abounds, you can make it. Amen. 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 I know it kind of sounds cliche, but this thing is about love. Yep. Yeah. Amen. God so loved the world, Amen. And we are to love one another. Yeah. Amen. Amen. And without love, your judgment won't be right. That's right. And without love, what good is your knowledge? Amen. Knowledge puffeth up. But charity edifieth. Amen. Then it says in verse 10, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. The love of God and the love for people will help you do that. Amen. I want to be sincere, don't you? Amen. I want to mean what I say and say what I mean. And the Bible says, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds. Now, folks, Paul had to go through some things. And I've said it 1,000 times. If you're going to live for God, you're going to have to go through some things. I don't understand why it's that way, but it is. Lester Roloff said, sorrow is God's mechanic in the workshop of life. And I'm going to tell you, this life is a veil of tears. And in the middle of all that, God uses that. And folks, if you ain't figured it out yet, this world and this life is full of sorrow. And in that, we're watching folks. Amen. We're watching you all. I watch people that go through things. I want to know how to go through that. Paul said, because of the things that happened unto me, my bonds, people are more competent. And this is what I want to preach about. It says, waxing confident by my bonds, in verse 14, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. So I want to preach for a little while, just a few minutes, on much more bold. If you're like me, you could stand to be a little bolder. Could I hear an amen right there? Amen. So let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you, God, for saving us. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to be here. Thank you, Lord, for a church that we can come to and the liberty that we have here, Lord. And thank you for Brother Allen and Miss Linda and the family. And God, I pray you'll bless them, Brother Mike and God and Ruth and all of them that's here. And God, every home, every heart represented, the ministries that are represented here, the other churches. God, help us to be much more bold. And Lord, we'll thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Paul had to go through some things. Everybody that I know that lives for God has to suffer some things. I got a buddy of mine up in Nova Scotia, Canada, and he's a real good guy. His name is Brother Percy Lake. And Brother Percy is like, he's like Brother Allen. He was working on some lady's roof in his church. And he was up on the roof, and he had a ladder going up the second floor there and all that. And he got on that ladder and that ladder slipped and he fell, and he fell two stories and he landed on his head and his face and broke his neck. And Brother Percy is paralyzed from the waist down and in a wheelchair and all that. And man, they rushed him to the hospital. He was an athlete. He played hockey up there in Nova Scotia and all that. And they was rushing him to the hospital. And his son-in-law, Brother Joey Ring, me and Brother Jim know Brother Joe. And they went to the hospital and they seen their preacher laying there and their father-in-law. And his face literally detached from his head. And he was so swelled up, they couldn't even hardly recognize him. And Brother Joey was leaning over his bed, and he was crying. He was saying, "Preacher, preacher." And he said this. He goes, "Preacher, show us how to do this. You got to make it through this. Show us how to do this. And you taught us all this stuff. Teach us this now."
Yeah, right.
Amen. And folks, people go through things, and the people that have taught us. And because they've done that, we're now much more bold.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. How does somebody make it when their loved one dies? Amen. Amen. We're watching you.
Amen.
Amen. Show us how to do this.
Brother Jimbo
Powell, he's got 9 kids. He's in Enterprise, Alabama. He's one of my great friends as a young man. He pastors, and he's a good guy. And he's got 2 girls that's got problems with their brain, and they have seizures and horrible seizures. And there's one girl there, Mandy, she's my buddy. Me and her have been writing back and forth for years. And they had to go in and do brain surgery. They removed a major portion of her brain. And they didn't think she'd ever be able to hardly walk or talk. And man, I'm telling you, she's sharp. She's sharper than anybody I hang around with. Amen. But she had that surgery and all. And we were eating one time there at the church. And her sisters were saying something, and she looked at her sister, and she went, "I got half a brain, and I'm smarter than you all are." But she's went through that. Man, people's prayed for her literally all over the world. And her younger sister has got the same thing. And, here just a few weeks ago, we was there, and she was there, and I preached this, and she come running over there after service was over with, and she grabbed me and hugged me, and I whispered in her ear, I said, "Girls, show us how to do this. Show us how to get through this."
Yeah.
Amen. And I've watched folks, and Paul said, "The things that happened unto me have happened unto me for the furtherance of the gospel." He said, "Many of the brethren are more competent now because of what I had to go through." Amen.
Amen.
And folks, I want to be much more bold. My brother Doucette laughed at me because I probably have a reputation of being a little too bold. But you know what I'm talking about. Amen. So I want to say this. For the furtherance of the gospel, that's number one. Folks, we've been put in trust with the greatest news that there is.
Amen.
Amen. And man, regardless of what happens, whatever comes our way, God has called us and gave us a great life to live. Amen, and we got the greatest news that there is. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven when I die. I know the truth. God rescued me, rescued my family. Amen. Put me around the greatest people that they are. And this gospel that we know of, this gospel, what he built is this gospel. Amen. Christianity started with, 2 pieces of wood and 3 rusty nails. And this Christianity that we know was formed with a Roman hammer and a makeshift crown of thorns. And what we have here tonight and what we know, amen, is being saved. Amen, was started by suffering. And buddy, I'm telling you, the people that I read in this book that had to go through things, and amen, Solomon and all of his glory and all that, we read about their lives. And here Paul, probably the greatest Christian that ever lived. Amen. Say, how the New Testament church, and you go to Pauline epistles to learn about the church and church doctrine. How was this church started? I'll tell you how it was started. With stones.
Yep. Right, amen.
And beatings.
Yeah.
And scourgings.
Yep.
And shipwreck.
Yep.
Amen. And eye problems.
Yeah.
And being let down the basket. Amen. With the wall of the basket.
Right,
and people wanted to kill him. Amen. And going to prison. That's how the gospel started. And sitting here in Faith Baptist Church, you know how this gospel's going to go on? Through some of you all. Some of y'all that go through the health problems and literal hell on earth and all the things that befall us. Say, what's it for? The furtherance of the gospel.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, I'm watching y'all. Amen. Amen. We need to know how to do this. Amen. Brother Allen, we all got saved and God rescued us and we all wound up in Pensacola. You talk about an odd ragtag bunch of outlaws and outcasts. Amen. Buddy, we heard the preaching and man, it overwhelmed us and all. And Brother Allen got out of Bible school and came up here and man, I was there afterwards and when all my buddies left, me and Dee would weep and cry when our friends would leave. And he come up here and man, the next thing you know, we hear about Josh getting run over. And then their house burning down. And I never told him. I guess it goes without saying, but we were watching you.
Yeah.
How do we do this?
Yeah.
If something happens, hey, man, how do we do this?
That's right.
People talk to me, you know, being as a preacher, and they try to ask questions and why this happens to me and why that happens. I don't know. But what a grand opportunity.
Yeah.
What an opportunity to shine before the glory of God and help somebody else.
Amen.
I don't understand why hard times come, but they do to folks.
Yeah.
And usually it's those choice flowers that he picks. I don't understand that.
Yeah.
But I know this, we're much more bold because of it.
Amen.
Right. Amen.
Yeah.
And some of our loved ones that's gone on and people that we loved around here that ain't here no more and the heartaches and the operations and surgeries and cancer. And I don't understand all that. But we're watching.
Amen.
Show us how to do it.
Amen.
So we can be more bold.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's right.
Me and my wife, we're...
Good.
I'm frightened, man. I'm a frightened child in the sight of divorce and all that. Somebody said, what are you going to do if Dee leaves you? I'm going with her.
Yeah.
That's my mommy now. She takes care of me. At least that's what she tells me all the time. No, it ain't. She says, I'm not your mother. That's right. But I watch her, and I know it could happen, and still, I don't understand. I don't... But man, I'm telling you, my heart breaks and hear somebody loses their spouse.
Yes, right.
How in the world? How do you do that? I watch that. I don't know, but we're watching.
Yeah.
Show us how to do it.
Amen.
Amen. So we can be more bold.
Amen.
Amen. So we can help somebody else.
Yeah.
That's how this works.
Yeah.
What Paul said. Amen. Regardless of all the theology and all that, no, he said people are more confident from what happened to me.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
I'll tell you why else. The family that I got to be more bold because of that.
Yeah.
Everybody in here, your family, if you're saved by the grace of God, your family needs what you got.
Amen.
A lot of people in here know about it. Some don't. My son's gone. Boom. And turned his back on the Lord and left and all that and turned our world upside down. Literally. Tore our heart out. Nothing like that. And man alive, I had to call. I called some of my friends and told them the hardest things I ever did. And I called my oldest brother and man, we cried on the phone. I cried. I couldn't even hardly talk to him first. And my brother gets real quiet and he goes, Brutus, he said, you're the young one, you're the youngest. He said, but you're the preacher, man. And he got real quiet, and he says, we're watching you.
Yeah.
Amen. I felt a weight on me.
Yeah.
And after about a month or so, my brother called me, and he says, I told you, son. He said, I told you I was watching you. He got quiet again. He goes, I like what I see.
Yeah.
And at that time, I wasn't no champion at that time. I'll tell you that right now. And I still ain't much now. But I know folks are watching.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. And my family, they need us. Amen. Brother Soche was talking about being filled with the Spirit of God. You know what one of the earmarks of being filled with the Spirit is? You speak the Word of God with what?
Boldness.
Boldness. That's one of the evidence of being filled with the Spirit of God.
Yes,
some of you that are afraid to talk to anybody, Amen. Maybe you need a little boldness.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. Folks that I know, man, I've been around some genuine soul winners.
Amen.
Amen. Not everybody that wins souls is a soul winner.
That's right.
Amen. There's some men and some ladies that have this knack.
Amen.
That they can step out and they can make people feel comfortable around them and feel like they really care.
Yeah.
I've been around the super pseudo soul winners. I was in one of the church one time, went on visitation with these guys, and this guy had a notebook with him. And he would go to the door, and he'd look at, turn the pages, hello. You know, we're from Bethel Baptist Church. How are you? If you died today, you know, he did about two doors. Finally, I stopped him. I said, buddy, if you pull that book out one more time, I'm going to punch you right in the nose. Amen. I learned one of the best ways to go on visitation is take some kid with you.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. Take some little rowdy, booger-picking little kid with you, and they'll answer the door, and they'll go, oh, come on in, honey. You want some cookies?
Yeah.
I get it, man. You take a bunch of little kids with you, you get in the doors and everything.
Yeah.
Amen. So what do you want to be? I want to be much more bold. To preach the word of God, man, to stand up here, it takes some boldness.
Yeah, amen.
Amen. And I've watched some folks go through some hard times, go through some things.
Yeah.
Amen. Much more bold. I'll tell you why else we need to be more bold. It's because of the friends that God gave us.
Yeah, amen.
When I got saved, my circle of friends, I wasn't a second generation Christian. And my circle of friends didn't know God. And I got names wrote down. I don't have time tonight, but I got names wrote down of some of my buddies that I never got to witness to. Amen. Jeff Stapleton, he took a rifle and shot himself in his own barn. We all doped together and all that. He always had a bad relationship with his daddy, and I never got to talk to him about the Lord. Mike Zumbrin put a 64 Chevy, put a hose on his exhaust pipe in his garage and stuck it in the window and killed himself. Never got to talk to him about the Lord. And I got on here, old Penrod, Dean Gabbard, some old biker buddies. I never got to tell them about the Lord. Amen.
Yeah.
But I got to tell some of them.
Yeah.
And I got to win a few of them.
Amen.
Amen. And I'd have never done it if I hadn't have walked up to them. I mean, I've told it here before, but I went and seen one of my old buddies. Me and Dee, we finished our first year of Bible school. You know, here I was, I knew everything then. And I went to one of our buddies, his name was Ed Milby. And old Eddie, we called him, he had a bunch of nicknames. Eddie the Animal, amen, because he was built like a silverback gorilla. He was also called the King Quick Bandit because he used to rob King Quick stores with a sawed-off shotgun. He was so infamous that people that he robbed would say, hey, man, I got robbed by the King Quick Bandit. And old Ed Milby was built, man, had long hair, and he was an old heroin addict. And he had all them tattoos that he made himself. You ever see those?
Yeah.
Misspelled words. They're crooked on their arm. You know, it's as far as he could reach. You know, they're making him little tattoos and crosses and all kind of stuff all over him. And I remember I'd gotten saved and got my hair cut and all that, and we went up to this door, knocked on the door, me and Dee. And he answered the door, and there stood Eddie with a pair of shorts on, no shirt, hair down to here, all them old needle marks in his arms, and you could smell marijuana when he opened the door, and he looks like this, and he goes, he looks at Dee, and he recognizes Dee, and he goes, Mark, is that you? Here I am. I look like Jethro Bodine. It's me, Eddie. Come on in here, man. He hugged me. We went in, and I put my Bible on the kitchen table, and I said, Ed, everything you wanted to ever ask a preacher, I've been to 1 year of Bible school. You say, well, you knew a lot of Bible, huh? No, but I knew more than Ed.
Yeah.
And we sat up that night, man, and I tried to go through and showed him stuff. You know, most people that you talk to, you know, most of your family has never seen in the Bible
That's right.
What it even means to be saved. You ever asked anybody that? You ever go to any of your old friends and say, hey, let me ask you something. Has anybody ever taken the Bible and showed you how to be saved? They'll go, no. Amen.
That's right.
We set up, that was on Saturday, and we stayed, I don't know, it was 1 or 2 in the morning. And I said, Eddie, we're going to this big Baptist church right down here in town tomorrow. Will you go with us, you and Karen? I don't know, man. I don't fit in good with that crowd.
Yeah.
He said, man, it's awful late. And I said, would you do it for me, buddy? And away he goes, I'll do it for you. And we picked him up that Sunday morning, and we went to that big old church. And that Gerald Fleming was pastoring in a Dayton Baptist temple. And my uncle and them, that's where they got saved and all in that church. My uncle said in their day, there would be nothing to be 25 or 30 people walk the aisle on Sunday morning and get saved. And 15 of them be on visitation on Thursday night. And that old preacher, he got up to preach. That was before they had these cordless mics, and they had a mic they put on, it was about that long. And they hooked it on him, and they had a big wire there, and there was a guy off the back, and he would wind him out and then wind him back in. And Brother Fleming, a big, tall platform, he's preaching like that. Boy, he'd go up and down, that guy was letting him blow, and then he'd reel him back in when he turned around. And he preached that Sunday morning. He goes, don't go to hell. Don't go to hell for anybody. Man, he's kicking and stomping. I watched old Ed sitting there, and I seen him, man, his hands shaking. They started giving the invitation, and he gripped the old pew there just like they said. And we standing there, and they started singing Just As I Am without one plea. I looked over, and I bumped old Eddie, and I said, Eddie, what do you think, buddy? You need to get saved? And he looked at me and goes, I need it, Mark. I said, well, come on, buddy. And we stepped out of there. And they had these, I call them social workers. They do it at Shady Acres, when they give an invitation, they'll stand there with their Bible. Well, the social workers were at the aisles. I stepped out of there with Eddie, and he had an old T-shirt on with holes in it and big old arms. And that guy looked at him and went, and I go, it's all right, he's with me. And the guy's like, whew, okay. And I took him around there on that side of the pulpit over there, and I knelt down with him. And old Eddie was crying. I said, Eddie, give me your hand, buddy. And he put that big old meat hook hand in my hand. And I said, I can't get saved for you, buddy. I said, but the best way you know how, you tell God you're a sinner, and you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you call on him.
Yeah.
And old Eddie goes, God, I'm sorry. Oh, God, will you forgive me?
Yeah.
Dee had talked to Karen, his wife sitting over here, and she was backslid. She's a Pentecostal, and she had gotten saved, and she was over there, and there was her old heroin addict husband there getting saved, and she started going, woo, woo, amen. Oh, Eddie, my buddy got saved. But I'm going to tell you, you got to have the boldness to do it.
Amen.
Amen. And I've watched folks, I don't know if I'd be even standing here right now if I didn't have buddies like Brother Allen, John Garner. I got a picture of both of them in my Bible, in the front of my Bible, and Brother Jim and all those guys, Brother Charlie Andrews. Amen. I had a picture of my Bible one time, and Brother Charlie and Miss Myra, man, it's already 9 o'clock. Said, Miss Myra, I showed her a picture of me and Dee before we were saved. I had my arm around her, a little goatee and long hair. And I told Miss Myra, I said, Miss Myra, I said, would you pray for this young couple?
Yeah.
She took that picture and she looked at it. We was at camp there in Alabama, and she looked and she went, she started crying. She goes, oh, I remember that. She said, I remember your mama standing up on Wednesday night saying, my son's coming down here. Will you pray for him? He's a drug addict, and he's in trouble, been in jail and all that. And they prayed for me.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. The men in my life and the people that I know have caused me to be much more bold.
Amen. Amen.
Yes, amen.
Amen.
And folks, I'm going to tell you, the things, Paul said, the things that have befallen me, you can get bitter about it. Sure you can. But some of you are walking miracles.
Yeah.
Some of you God rescued.
Yeah.
Some of you, it's a miracle you're even sitting here.
Amen.
You know what people are doing? They're watching you.
Amen.
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 I know the Spirit of God does the work, and I know we're nothing and all that, but I'm telling you, folks, you'd be surprised how people, if you got something, they want it.
Amen.
So tonight, would you do me a favor?
Yes, sir.
Would you come?
Sure.
If you're going through that hurt and trouble and trial, Just say, God, will you help somebody else through this?
Yeah, amen.
Amen. Amen. Heads bowed and eyes closed.